This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, coming to you today with our message, which is an audio message of a message that was published back in April of 1995. The date that I'm recording this happens to be in January of 2024, so we're talking about 29 years or so ago. And the reason why I'm giving you the dates is because sometimes during some of the messages that I'm putting on audio, I'm reading basically verbatim from the published message, and I might be using some references that were relevant back then but are not relevant today. But by the same token, be advised that when it comes down to the Word of God is relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. So consequently, what the scriptures and everything else that you hear or read in the Bible and so forth, they're always relevant. They don't change. God doesn't change His word to go along with how things are today. His word stays the same. So let's get on into the message, and the message is taken from our scripture. It's in St. Luke, chapter number 23, verse number 18. And as I said, this is for April of 1995. All of these messages that are on audio can be downloaded and put on CD if you so desire. Okay, St. Luke chapter 23 verse 18 says, "And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas." The title for this message is, "Give Us Barabbas." A great man once spoke these words. December 7, 1941, a day that will live in infamy. This was a speech referring to one of the most darkest times in our nation, the day the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. And indeed, this was a tragic time. Hundreds or thousands of men and women perished while sleeping or going about their carefree duties when a sneak attack turned the peaceful, sunny, beautiful Sunday morning into a chaotic hell on earth for those that were there and for this entire nation. It was a day that this nation will never forget. Several years later, the Japanese paid the price for their act of violence. There were other days that we have in our history books and in our memories that were bad, but nothing like Pearl. However, there was another day that we celebrate where only one person died. Yet it outweighs what happened at Pearl Harbor by multitudes. What happened on that day set the stage for all of creation, past, present, and future, to either prosper or perish. But it is not so much what happened on a hill called Golgotha I want to focus on. It is an event that preceded that which I want to focus on today. Go back with me in time to a scene that rivals anything that man could ever do to show his wickedness and contempt for good. The scene is the court of Pontius Pilate. Pilate is facing a crowd of people that have assembled themselves to witness the trial of a man named Jesus. Jesus is standing between Pilate and the crowd. There's nothing regal about him. He looks like the average Jew of that day. As we ponder what is the history behind this man and why is he on trial, we notice that the crowd is being stirred up by a group of men dressed in what appears to be royal apparel. We find out that these men are the religious leaders of their day. They seem to be trying to get the crowd to tell Pilate something. But what? Another interesting thing is there's another man standing between Pilate and the crowd, which puts him next to Jesus. This man, unlike Jesus, looks dirty, unshaven, and is rather unpleasant to look at. He doesn't look like the type of fellow you would want to run into on a dark, deserted road. Both Jesus and this man are in chains, which gives the idea that they are prisoners. We find out something else. This is not actually a trial, but a voting party to see which of the two men Pilate will set free. Go to Matthew chapter number 27 and verse number 15. So we need to see which of these men deserves to be free and what will be done to the remaining individual. As we look at what the people say about Jesus, we find out that he had a mysterious birth. His parents raised him up along with his other siblings to recognize that there is a God, and that without him, man could do nothing. Jesus, unlike most children of his time, spent most of his time not playing with the other children, but in the temple listening to the religious leaders talking about the law and the commandments of God. Then one day he comes back as a grown man and things really begin to get exciting. First, he gets baptized by a man named John the Baptist, and a dove lands on him. At the same time, a voice comes out of heaven and says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Listen to him. Then, next thing we know, is that he starts saying and doing things that have not been done before. He challenges the religious leaders on their actions regarding how they are trying to keep the people in bondage by putting more laws and restrictions on him that God had not ordained. But that is only the beginning. He begins to heal the sick without using medicine. He opened blind eyes. He cured the lame. The deaf received their hearing. He fed over 10,000 people with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and still had leftovers. One day, he called some fishermen who had not had a bite all day to gather so much fish that their boats were sinking from the weight. But the most spectacular thing he did was to raise a man from the dead that had been dead 4 days. He also raised 2 other people from the dead. In short, this man went about doing all things that were good. He even preached good, so much so that the people followed him more than the religious leaders. Now, all we know about the other man, whose name is Barabbas, is that he is a thief and a murderer. This man has a history of violence. He is one that can't be trusted. And here is Pilate asking which of the two shall he release to the crowd? Jesus that does nothing but good, or Barabbas that does nothing but evil? As we listen, the crowd responds in a loud voice, "Give us Barabbas." "What then is to happen to Jesus?" Pilate asks. The crowd responds again, "Crucify him." What kind of madness is this? The crowd, being urged on by the religious leaders, would rather have a murderer released to them rather than a man that God says is his son and that has done nothing but good in a little over 3 years. He's done more good in that time than all these religious leaders who are supposedly God's ministers have done in their entire lives combined. That day and its scenario is played over time and time again by most of us every day. How, you might ask? The scenario we just looked at shows a man in authority giving the people that he ruled over the choice to receive unto themselves good or evil. Jesus represents good, life, blessing, prosperity, righteousness, holiness, healing, and everything that God has to offer. Barabbas represents death, cursing, poverty, sin, sickness, bondage, and all things that are the worst that man can find. And so it is that today, God sets before each of us the good and the evil and asks us which one we want. However, he urges us to choose the good. Yet, despite this urging, we choose the evil, and many times we do it not at the urging of others, but at the urging of our own religious leaders who have something against the good. That's right. Today and down through history, man pursues a course of self-destruction that is due in large part to the doctrines and traditions that man has allowed to creep into their churches. And when God sends someone to us to tell us the truth about these devilish practices, these same preachers in their churches urge their followers to reject God's message and to run the messenger out of town if necessary. Abortion versus life. Too many Christians are choosing abortion. They are saying, "Give us Barabbas." Homosexuality versus heterosexuality. Too many Christians are seeing nothing wrong with it, talking about homosexuality. They are saying, "Give us Barabbas." No prayer in schools versus prayer in schools. They say no prayer. They are saying, give us Barabbas. Morality in the public schools versus no morality. They want no morality. They are saying, give us Barabbas. Laws for our nation based on God or laws based on man? They want laws based on man's ideas. They are saying, give us Barabbas. Yes, that's right. Time and time again, when given the choice between good and evil, life and death, blessing and cursing, Jesus and Barabbas, we inevitably choose Barabbas. Why? Because of the pleasure we derive from it. That's right, there is pleasure in sin, but the wages of sin is death. Are you ready for that? Man's nature seeks pleasure for himself. He seeks something that he can identify with. God says, "In man or woman dwelleth no good thing." The heart of a man or a woman is deceitfully wicked. Barabbas represents us in our sinful state. Jesus represents what we can become if we will only make a choice to reject Barabbas and choose him. Today, right now, I am saying, you are standing in that crowd like nearly 2,000 years ago. God is putting two choices in front of you. One is Jesus and all he represents. The other is Barabbas and all he represents. He is not going to twist your arm. He will honor your decision. It is my hope that you say, "Give me Jesus." If you say, "I am not ready yet," what you are really saying is, "Give me Barabbas." Think about it. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre thanking you again for listening, taking the time to listen to this message. And let me say, may God bless you and your families real good. Until the next time we get together, good day.